All right, we're on. Welcome to our worship. It's good to be here with you all. Allow me to introduce the hymns, especially for those listening on the radio. We are following Divine Service Setting 1, beginning on page 151 in the hymnal. And so our opening hymn is also our hymn of the day. We're going to split up. It's 9 stanzas. So 470, O Sons and Daughters of the King, we'll sing the first 4 stanzas, and then for the hymn of the day, we'll pick it up at stanza 5. During distribution, 549, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 645, Built on the Rock, 512, At the Name of Jesus, our closing hymn, 483, which is our hymn of the month, With High Delight, Let Us Unite. We do have a voters meeting today, so please stick around. I think it'll be relatively short. We have annual reports printed out down there and other reports. We have a request from the community, and some of you may know this gentleman, Bob Buss. I understand he had serious burns, was a victim of some burns in a fire, so he's at a hospital being treated, but we'll include Bob in our prayers today. So let us begin with our opening hymn, 470, O Sons and Daughters of the King, the first 4 stanzas.
That night.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We allow a time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the introit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. This first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, chapter 5. Many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits. They were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." This is the word of the Lord. Again, on the yellow insert, we sing the gradual. Christ is risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. The epistle reading is from Revelation, the first chapter. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, "Write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea." Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun, shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forever, and I have the keys of death and Hades. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Oh, Christ. You may be seated as we continue our hymn, beginning at stanza 5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we just celebrated the grand high feast of Easter last Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord. He is God. And so we return. We return to gather around him just as the disciples did, all but the one. But what about those we know in our lives who don't believe? You know, where are they? They don't know, or they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and God, the Son of God. He has in fact died, arisen. He is alive now. He's reigning in heaven. What about those? Maybe they've heard about Jesus, and yet they say, I can't possibly believe. It's not in their capacity to believe. They said, unless I, you know, like Thomas, unless I know this or hear this, I can't believe. They're honest, but they're stuck in their disbelief, the confusion and the fear. And so what do? Well, we invite them here. This apparently is what those disciples did with Thomas. He was missing that first Easter service. This was Easter Sunday, and they gathered, and the Lord Jesus himself came to them. They were there behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They weren't believing. They weren't believing that Jesus had risen as he said he would on the very day he said he would. They were in disbelief. They're frightened. They're confused. They had observed, they had witnessed what happened to him. They had witnessed what the hostile people had done to their rabbi, their Lord, and they saw him die. They saw that he was put into a tomb dead. How could he possibly be alive? And so they're confused, they're afraid. And what now? What's going to happen to us? You know, we believed. They were quite secure in their understanding of who Jesus was and what he had come to do. And they were privileged to be with him for those 3 years, to hear his words, even on that last night, to be in his presence, that Passover celebration. And so they were with the Lord, but it changed quickly as they were in the garden, Gethsemane, and Jesus had been praying. They couldn't stay awake. And Judas led this group with armed to arrest their rabbi, and so they did, and Jesus allowed it. He didn't want anybody to resist. Now what? They're afraid. They ran. But they would watch. He was mocked as he was beaten, as he was falsely accused, as he was nailed to the cross and hung there dying. They watched. They witnessed it. And they were helpless on their own, afraid and confused. Many in the world today are feeling helpless, afraid, confused. This is a rough, evil world. It's fallen. These people are in our community. They're where you live, where you work, go to school, even where we worship. Yes, here. You know, we come to church. We feel helpless. There are events in the world, in our lives, circumstances that are beyond our control, beyond our ability to even make sense of, to know what's going on, now what. And so we get frightened. You know, we too wonder and are confused. We want to believe in Jesus. We've followed him. We've followed him, and we've heard his teachings. We've committed to him. We've confessed him, we've sacrificed for him, giving of our lives, giving of our treasure and our talent, and we believe, and yet we still need help with our unbelief. And so we come here, and we come here together. We come here together to gather around God's word. We gather in his name. Where else would we go? He has the words of eternal life. This is where we come together for each other. And as he's called us to, as he's told us to gather, just like the apostles. They started that first Sunday, and they've been gathering every Sunday since, as we do. And so we gather around Christ in his name, and Jesus comes to us. He comes to us in our helplessness, in our confusion, in our fears. And how do we begin our services? Well, we begin with confessing our sins. We confess our need for him. We confess our confidence in him as our Savior. And we plead in contrition and humility and appeal to his mercy to forgive us, and he does. The words that you hear from my voice are Christ's words of forgiveness for you. He absolves you. Peace be with you. He's here for you. This text is an important text for our understanding of the office of the keys. Jesus is commissioning that office in this text. We see that as he is coming to those whom he has chosen to be the apostles, the ones he would send out. He gives them peace. He confirms, you know, yeah, it is me. You know, he is the one, the crucified one who is risen. Peace. As the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. He breathed them. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he's giving the power of the Holy Spirit to the church through these initial apostles. And he tells them, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they're forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it's withheld. The office of the keys. Entrusted to the church, to Christ's church, because he would soon be ascending and where he is now sitting, but not away from us. He's with us. We just don't see him. And so he's working actively through the church, through us, as he's entrusted his church with the office of the keys, the power to forgive, the power to withhold sins. You members of Zion, if have called me, just one of a string of pastors, of men, to fill this office of ministry, to carry out the authority granted to the church to forgive your sins. And so your sins are forgiven by the power and authority of Christ. And so we trust his word. He has made it clear. And so we receive these gifts that he's given initially to the apostles and then carried down to us to this day. And given us the Holy Spirit. And given us his words. As John says, there were many things, signs that he did. They're not written down. But John, he wrote his gospel. He wrote his three epistles. He wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, as you do, as we do. He wants us to believe. He wants us to believe. So he keeps giving us his word and his spirit. He keeps calling us here and strengthening that faith and assuring us that, yeah, I'm Lord of Lords. And we respond, we confess our faith, as Thomas did with that great proclamation of faith, my Lord and my God. And we confess in our creeds, we confess in our hymns, we confess in our words, in our prayers, in our thanks, and we respond to our Lord and our God. And he restores us, he refreshes us, he emboldens us, he empowers us. This happens every Sunday, every divine service. It happens every Wednesday here too. It happens when you, as a family, gather around God's word for your devotions. You speak his word, hear his word. It comes to you for your encouragement, instruction, for your life in Christ. But what about those you know in your life, maybe even in your very family, who aren't here? Many maybe even used to follow Jesus, but they've stopped. They're no longer here. Maybe they're like Thomas. Now, he was a bold follower and instructed by Christ himself, and yet, you know, he said, no, I can't believe, I won't. On his own, on our own, it is impossible. So these people who aren't here, for whatever reason, they can't believe on their own. They need the Holy Spirit. They need that Spirit, so that Spirit will come to them through the Word. Well, yeah, we can try, and we do. You know, we tell them, no, it's true. Jesus is risen. He is Lord. He has suffered and died for you. He's taken your sins upon himself. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have life in him forever. And they're struggling. Apparently, the disciples were trying to convince Thomas throughout the week. It wasn't just once. It's like, no, it's true. We saw him for ourselves. And, well, he came, right? He came to church. He came the next Sunday, to that first Sunday after Easter, attended. And Jesus came to them again. Like, he came to them in their disbelief and again spoke his words of absolution, peace, peace be with you. They went directly to Thomas because he wants him to believe. He comes to those who are here in disbelief and confusion and fear because he wants us to believe. He wants all to be saved and have life in him. So he comes to us. So we invite those people here. You know, we invite them even though they're resistant, even though they're adamant. It's like, I can't. You know, it doesn't make sense. I what about these other people? What about this? What about that? Well, you can't convince them, nor can I, but God does, can, will, through the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to them through his word. And so we gather here. We invite them here. We say, no, he has risen. He is risen indeed. He is alive forever. And we have life in him. That's why he's here. That's why he's here for you, dear loved one, dear neighbor, dear coworker who doesn't believe, wants to believe, but can't believe. Jesus wants them to believe. So we invite them here where he comes every week. And he speaks peace. He speaks forgiveness for sins as they too can confess their sins in his presence. They too can confess their doubts as we do. He invites questions and poking and prodding at him. There's no fear of him not being who he is. We have no concern for that. He is Lord and God, King of Kings. He rules now and forever, the Alpha and the Omega. Every knee will bow, every eye will behold and recognize that he is King. We do it now. We desire that all know him just as our Lord does. And so he sends us out, not to live in fear and confusion, but to live in the confidence of the truth that Jesus is Lord. He reigns in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has freed us from our sins by his blood. He has made us a kingdom. He himself has the keys of death and Hades. We have nothing to fear. We're safe in our Lord. And he gathers us to himself. He gathers us himself because this is where we have the words of eternal life. This is where we have the assurance of the promises that we received in our baptism. And so we live for him, no longer worried about ourselves, no longer frightened about the effects of death, even of our own sins. We can now live for others as he desires. So we live out our lives, parents living sacrificially for their children, protecting, giving, nurturing, instructing, children honoring and obeying their parents as God has told us, wives submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ, husbands loving their wives sacrificially as Christ has loved the church, honoring parents, loving neighbor, living for them, doing for them what we can, telling them about Jesus, and we bring them to church, invite them here to hear the words of eternal life. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For strength to praise our God aright, that our hearts and mouths would be filled with joy at the death and resurrection of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the forgiveness of our sins and the blessing of pastors who serve in Christ's name, that the church would be built up in our time and in the ages to come, let us pray to the Lord. For those who have wandered from the household of faith, that faithful to his promises, God would work all things in their lives to remind them of their need for his unending grace and steadfast love, and that they would return to the faith and delight in Christ, crucified and raised for them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the Church of God, that the holy angels would minister to those imprisoned on account of the testimony of Jesus, and that the whole church would be emboldened in her witness. Let us pray to the Lord. For our president, Congress, our governor, the legislature of our state, all who make, administer, and judge our laws, and those who respond in emergency and disaster, and guard our liberty, that the Lord would guide and protect them. Let us pray to the Lord. For the servants of the Lord afflicted among us, especially Bob, Shirley, Fred, Anita, Duane, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Richard, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Mark, Kara, Erno, Anna, Jeff, and Ethel, that God, the great physician, would grant them healing under the shadow of his wings, let us pray to the Lord. For confidence in the mercy of Christ, and glad hearts as he greets us with peace, that we would be forgiven, renewed, and strengthened by his body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. Alpha and Omega, Almighty God, who was and who is to come, with you all the souls of the faithful rest in safety and in the assurance of the resurrection of all flesh. Make safe our way to join them and bring us with John and all the saints into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated for the gathering of the offering. We continue with our offertory. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who is sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witness of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Coming around,
turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around.